Dan Perkins Media proudly presents Moms Across America, a program where women can speak their minds openly and freely without fear of reprisal. Moms Across America is about the issues of the day confronting America from a mom's point of view. And now, here are the moms.
Welcome to another adventure on Moms Across America. I'm your host this week, Annie Ubelis. Vicki Tompkins hopefully will be with us next week. And my co-host, yes, it's not a mom, it's a dad, Across America, Dan Perkins, the host and producer of this show. Welcome and good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon. We are really learning, hopefully learning lessons this week about the Constitution.
Yes. I forgot. Yes.
Well, now you can do it.
Oh, well, people should be going to ashbrook.org/constitution and get your constitution. Know what's in it and know what your rights are. And oh, by the way, oh, this is my other constitution, my vaccine passport. But wait, it is the constitution. So you should know it, know what your rights are. Go to ashbrook.org/constitution.
Absolutely. And we need to read it. And those of us who didn't read the 14th or the 8th Amendment, which was in the news this week, we should, so we understand.
Absolutely.
So we had an interesting Monday. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people, this is my opinion, Annie, the vast majority of people who listened to the dialogue between the justices and the prosecutors and defending it, attorneys in the Colorado case, could not walk away from that and say that they're gonna allow Colorado to take his name off the ballot. The issue at the end of the day was, what's the number going to be? Is it going to be 6-3, 8-1, or 9-0? The left continued to believe it was going to be 6-3 their favor, but it turned out to be 9-0 against Colorado. By the way, I believe, although I haven't seen the actual final numbers, the last number I saw was that Mr. Trump, who was being threatened to take his name off the ballot, got 66% of the total vote. And some of the votes in Tuesday, which we'll get to in a moment. Our country was saved by the ability of the court to look at the facts, take out the emotion, and interpret the law the way it needed to be interpreted. I'm not saying they skirted the law. They just looked at the law and said that that law that they were talking about was done after the Civil War, primarily to keep rebels from getting into state and local government offices, not the president or vice president or any national elected officer. The court really, really upset the apple cart. Now, I would say to you, just in your point of view, if it had gone the other way, would Trump still have won 15 out of 16 states the next day?
Oh, I absolutely do believe so. What the Supreme Court basically said is that without reasonable, not reasonable cause, but without a conviction for insurrection, it was just a civil judge. Matter of fact, in Colorado, it was a traffic court judge, a civil judge, who determined that he was ineligible because of her interpretation of the 14th Amendment. It is not up to a local court or even a state court to determine whether or not something is constitutional or unconstitutional. It's up to the Supreme Court to make that final decision. It is not up to an individual. This is one of the most important parts in the decisions the justice has made. It is not up to an individual state to determine whether or not someone should be on a national ballot. On a state ballot, yes, it's up to the state to determine who goes on and off the ballot. Not a national ballot where one state, in its determination, could change the course of an election. Is up to the people, we the people of these United States, to make that determination if that person should be or should not be our president. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Court upheld the Constitution, whether you're a liberal or conservative or riding the fence, in a 9-0 determination, they stood united with we the people and the Constitution, and it was a joy to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have been concerned, and I'm still concerned, quite honestly, Annie, is that the left of constant barrage of attacks against the court and individuals on the court, whether it's Justice Thomas or whoever it is, really bothers me, because the message that's being sent to our younger people and to some older people, but mostly younger people, is the Supreme Court shouldn't be believed. And our founders tried to put together three branches of government that were fair and equal to each other with checks and balances. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more after the break. But clearly, the court was brutally attacked after the announcement on Monday and continued after the elections were over late last night. They're continuing to criticize. This is something that I did on a whim last night, and I want to share it with you. Mitch McConnell indicated that he was, one, no longer going to be minority leader in the Senate, and hopefully majority had the Democrats lost control. He also, this morning, endorsed Donald Trump as the nominee. He did not do that in 2016 when he was running the first time. In fact, many of the party leadership was anti-Donald Trump. The Speaker of the House, the majority leader of the Senate, were not interested in any of his agenda. Now the Speaker is supporting Donald Trump, and the going out of business Mr. McConnell as minority leader, we're going to get a new one, and there's already starting a fight over who it should be, which didn't surprise me. What I'm looking at is I'm looking at how much the court is under attack. In his first term in office, Donald Trump appointed three justices of the Supreme Court. Now there's discussion today that if Donald Trump wins the presidency, Justice Thomas will step down, and perhaps one other member on the conservative side and one of the liberal judges will step down for health reasons. So we could have a situation, believe it or not, that in two terms, Donald Trump has appointed six of the nine judges in the court. Probably the balance will be 8-2, conservative versus liberal. I think that could happen.
Pardon? You mean eight to one?
8-1. I'm sorry, 8-1. eight to one.
I was like, wait a minute, where did the extra person come from?
Well, I know some Democrats want to pack the court. They want to put more members on.
AFDR.
But the idea, the concern that the Democrats have, that if you replace Clarence Thomas with a 38-year-old judge, he or she's going to be on the court a long time. The idea that Trump could possibly appoint three more judges creates a situation where the court system would be under the Republican control for perhaps decades.
Well, here's the big caveat. That's if the Republican Senate returns. Right now, under a Democratic Senate, I don't see that happening. So unless we flip the Senate to be a majority at three quarters Republican, I don't see that occurring. And the Democrats will go all on out in this election cycle to make sure that doesn't happen. So whether or not we can flip it to a majority, much less a three quarters necessary for the appointment, it's going to be a tightrope.
You're seeing some defection of incumbents who are shying away from being around Mr. Biden and having him in their districts or states because his numbers, I didn't think his numbers could get worse, but they keep getting worse.
And well, there's a bellwether that no one's paying attention to. California went for Trump. The liberalist state outside of New York went for Donald Trump in the primary. Mm-hmm. Now, we have Adam Schiff running against Garvey. Garvey, a former basketball player, came up with baseball. I apologize. It was a ball. Anyway, don't yell at me, folks. I do know the difference. Joke. But Garvey had a nice win in his primary. So it's going to be Garvey versus Schiff. And now, if people in California said we'd prefer Donald Trump over Joe Biden, I see a possibility that we may have a shift in this nation, and it's a possibility we could win back the Senate. Whether we get three-quarter majority or just a simple majority, that waits to be seen. Like I said, we're walking a tightrope right now, and it's going to be an all-out war in the upcoming November ballot between Democrats and Republicans. And I predict, I prognosticate a massive turnout. It'll be the largest turnout we have seen in over half a century coming to the polls this November.
Bigger than 2020?
I think
that
so.
That was a record, 85 million people.
I'm going to see larger than that.
Legally or illegally?
Ah, that's the big question. With the voter motor laws on the books now and the massive immigration, and you wonder why we have a massive immigration problem under President Biden. And what was the number one issue on the ballot for voters in this primary season? Illegal aliens, illegal immigration.
You mean, you don't mean to say that. You mean to say newcomers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not woke enough today. Oh, my bad.
I thought that was amazing. They're now calling people who illegally come into the country and destroy the budgets of cities across the nation. They're called newcomers.
Last election cycle, they were undocumented. Now they were documented thanks to this current administration. So they do have some document. Not when they come in, but once they're in here, they are now documented. So now they're no longer illegal aliens or illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants or undocumented workers. They're newcomers.
I read this morning as I was prepping for the show that there are over 10 million illegal aliens destined for deporting waiting for their trials.
That's conservative.
It probably is conservative. As a result, those trials are now 10 or years more out. You know, I just think if a border judge has decided that they need to be deported, we need to deport them. And we need to stop them. And we need to offer people an opportunity for self-deportation so that the government doesn't have to do it. We're out of time on this segment. We'll be back in a moment or two with Annie. But tell us about your show that we can listen to.
Well, you can find me very simply at going Southern Sense, as in common sense, S-E-N-S-E, southernsense.net.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Dan Perkins, the author of a new historical romance novel called Sad Eyes. It is a story of a young woman, a beautiful Irish lass with red hair, green eyes, and curves that won't quit. She is born in 1912 in Waterloo, Iowa. She decides she wants to be an ER nurse, but she wants to move away from Waterloo to the excitement of the big city. She is accepted at St. James School of Nursing in Chicago and began a life as a true American patriot, serving her country in two wars. She fell in love with the love of her life. She takes the longest honeymoon in history. This novel is full of twists and turns and is difficult to put down. You can find Sad Eyes at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and J. Carroll Publishing. Or through your local bookstore. Get it, read it, tell people about it, and write a review on Amazon. This is Dan Perkins.
Well, welcome back to Moms Across America. I'm your host this week, Annie Ubelz, and Vicki will be with us hopefully next week. My guest co-host for the last couple of weeks sitting in is the other mom, Dan Perkins. Oh, yes, you are looking at a man, not a woman. So welcome back. And I also want to remind you to get your constitution, pass it out to your friends, neighbors, kids, nieces, nephews, even the stranger on the street. Go to ashbrook.org /constitution. ashbrook.org/constitution. Read it, share it, and be aware.
Absolutely. Very important. Because we have coming up soon is a possible decision by the court on immunity for the president. And we need to look at that. Who knows what else is going to come up through the court. But it's going to be a busy year for the court. Ladies and gentlemen, I told Annie that I was going to tell her something that I've been thinking about. But she's going to hear it the first time that everybody else hears it. So the reaction will be pure reaction. The court said on Monday that currently under federal law, the states do not have the right to exclude people off of the federal ballot. There's a separate ballot for the federal election than there is for state and they're incorporated together, but they're treated as two separate items for the purposes of putting them in the machines or print it out on paper, whatever. The court said that the states, in essence, have no standing to determine who should be permitted on the federal ballot. Mm-hmm. Now, we had several Democratic leaders within moments after the court issued their opinion who said that they were going to go to the Congress because the judges said that the amendment needs to be modified to empower the Congress to define certain things, one of them being insurrection, change the law so that they could have the ability, if the Congress approved in a national election a name taken off, they could do that. That would be a constitutional amendment. So the people who were on the televisions last night suggesting that they could get this done quickly, no. It's got to go through the whole constitutional process. It's got to go to the states. There probably isn't an opportunity even to get it. It has to go through the state legislatures to be approved. And so they're misleading, and this is the important thing, they're misleading the American people, especially the aggressive Democrats, that this can get done in a hurry, and it can't. But they're lying to their constituents. But they're feeding them the raw meat that they want, that there's hope. But I began to think about that, and if we look at what happened, we had four appointed Supreme Court justices in Colorado who decided that they were going to determine who would be eligible to be on the federal ballot in the state of Colorado. We had Maine doing the same thing the week before the court opined. We had the Secretary of State in Illinois decide that she was interpreting the Constitution and that Mr. Trump was in fact responsible for insurrection, and therefore, in her determination, his name shouldn't be on the ballot. Now, I'm going to pause there for just a second, and we're going to move back about 30 days and help people understand what might happen. Within the 30 days before the court decided, we had a situation where the Supreme Court said to Joe Biden, his executive order to waive over $1 billion in college loan debt was unconstitutional. He cannot modify a law passed by the Congress. Only the Congress can modify it. Joe Biden said to the court, I don't care, we're going to do it anyway. Now, under the powers of the court, the first thing that the court could do is declare that President Biden was in contempt of court, and they could send U.S. Marshals to the White House to arrest the president and put him in jail. Now, the problem with that is that the Justice Department controls the federal marshals, and the Justice Department is subject to the Attorney General. So that wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. So the second alternative is for the court to notify the House to commence impeachment proceedings because he's violated his oath to defend the Constitution. Mm-hmm. There's not enough time to do that. However, here's the twist. What about that attorney general in Chicago, in Illinois, or the one in Maine who decides, I don't care what the court said. I don't believe the court. They're wrong. I'm going to order his name be struck off the federal ballot.
You're back to square one. Supreme Court ruling. An individual state cannot determine who's on the federal ballot. Only the federal legislature.
Okay, but my point, Annie, is that was exactly what happened in the student loan case, but the president of the United States said, to hell with you, we're going to do it anyway. Bring it on, whatever you want to do, we're going to do it.
And that's the weakness of the rhinos in Congress, to not have the backbone to support the law and determination ruling of the Supreme Court. Specifically, equal branches of government that support also do a check and balance on each other. And right. We have a breakdown because we have a bunch of rhinos. We have a bunch of Democrats that are lying to the public and telling them this is the law, not the Constitution. We're a republic for a reason, because we're based upon the Constitution, not on the whim of the majority. And that's why you and I are here, to educate the public, to tell them, wait a minute, this document, this Constitution that you can get at ashbrook.org/Constitution, this tells us the law of the land, not the whim of a majority of people. That's fascism. That's communism. We're not. We're a democratically elected republic for a reason. And the rule of law must stand, and it's up to us to make sure it does.
But my concern, Annie, is that there are people out there who are absolutely
bonkers,
possessed.
Bonkers?
Well, yeah, but they're possessed with the idea that they have to get rid of it. We can't allow the American people to vote for Donald Trump because he might win. So we've got to get rid of him. And so if they have to, the bottom line of my scenario, if we have to destroy the Constitution in the country to stop it from happening, so be it. We're going to, they want to destroy the Constitution, and they want to destroy America, because they don't want Donald Trump to be president of the United States, because they fear what he's going to do.
And that is the individuals who think they are far more intelligent than the average American. They are turning around and thumbing their noses at we the people. They have no idea who we the people are. We may be farmers, we may be brick workers, we may be people working in someone's kitchen, but we're also doctors, lawyers, scientists. It's we the people. That is why our founders said that is our voice that means the most. It's government from the people upward, not from the top down. The elitists, you may think you may know better, but I'm telling you, you cannot make a decision for me. I make my decision. So that's why the ballot box is so important, why we must defend it to the very last breath. I may not agree with what you say. I may hate what you say, but I will defend to my dying breath your right to say it. And that is where they get it wrong.
They don't allow
dissent.
They don't allow you to have a contrary opinion of theirs. If you don't agree with them, you're evil. You're exactly. A racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, whatever. But what I'm saying is that as we get closer to the convention, specifically the Democratic convention in Chicago in August, I think the pressure is going to be put hotter and hotter and hotter, because these people will commit suicide if Donald Trump wins the nomination and wins the election. What you said before about what could happen in California and New York, because of the issue of the economy, illegal aliens that are in there, the conditions of the cities and the streets. I mean, they're talking about closing schools in San Francisco because there aren't enough kids to fill the classrooms to a certain level. And so and the people are outraged that they're going to be closing schools. School board really doesn't have a choice. They depend upon the state for a significant portion of their funding. And it's a function of per head, per student in the chair. And if there are students in the chair, they don't get the money. And so the whole infrastructure and structure of California, and more specifically, San Francisco, is falling apart because the compassion is gone from the left. It's hatred, and they have to have it their way, or there is no other way that can happen. And that's
there's an upside. Here's a huge upside. You take education out of government's hands, you put it back in the hands of the parents, which is what is happening in California, New York, and of course the country. Homeschooling, private schooling, charter schooling, they have a huge uplift. So the more we take federal dollars and state dollars out of education and put it back in the hands of the community and the parents, we're going to have better educated individuals coming out of our school, more productive individuals coming into our society, and we're going to see an economic boom from this debacle that the Democrats, they're shooting themselves in the foot. It is a complete, beautiful catch 22. And I'm loving it. I mean, my church has formed their own school just a little over 10 years ago. And it was just, you know, kindergarten, first and second grade. We have been graduating kids going into higher education at 90%. This is the beauty of taking it out of the hands of government. This is the beauty of we the people.
In the minute and a half we have left, so we're through the election, we're through the Supreme Court, we still got another one with immunity. What do you expect to see happen with the Democrats between now and Election Day?
A complete meltdown. And they are losing voters in record number. We see a higher percentage of people of minorities, of Blacks, Hispanics, and other minorities coming over and voting in the Republican primaries. We also see them coming into the Libertarian and Independents. We're seeing people that are finding out they don't want to live on the plantation anymore. Let's give ourselves our own voice. And hey, I may not agree with everything that a Republican or a Christian or a conservative thinks, but they're my next door neighbor. They're my family. They're my friend. And we can get along. And maybe right. That's what we need, to learn how to get along with each other.
Well, you blew right through that to that 15 minutes. So you were on a streak there. Why don't you sign us off?
Well, thank you for listening to Moms of Course America. And also, I'm going to reiterate, going to ashbrook.org/constitution. Get your constitution. But also go to danperkinsmedia.com. Am I getting that right? .org. danperkinsmedia.org. And watch these wonderful shows. Thank you. Good night. And God bless.
Remember, moms, you are America. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the show today. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to send a comment, please do so by sending it to dan@danperkinsmedia.org. That's dan@danperkinsmedia.org. And thanks for listening.